Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
In the book of Acts, chapter 3, starting in verse 18, those things which God before had shewed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Verse 21, and the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, since the world began. Verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Verse 24, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Verse 26, unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. It is written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, in the King James Bible, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. And he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Sinner, whether or not you believe it, by the grace, by the unearned favor of God, Jesus tasted death for you. He tasted death for every man. For it became him, Jesus Christ, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus, he's the captain of my salvation. He's willing to be the captain of your salvation. Believest thou this? For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Sanctify, that word sanctified has to do with being made holy, being set apart. We're told that Jesus, by one offering, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, set apart, made holy. Jesus, by one offering, he's perfected, he's sanctified those who believe on his name. Will you believe on Jesus Christ's offering, the offering of his body once for all, for you, for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins? Jesus had to taste death for you, because you tasted death. Wherefore is by one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23 declares, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. As a sinner, you've become unprofitable. You are all unprofitable. You've gone astray. For all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. For verily, Jesus Christ, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Jesus is the son of Abraham, son of David. He's not ashamed to call you one of his brethren. If only you will be sanctified, if only you will be sanctified, made holy, set apart, to be made holy, to be set apart as unto the Lord, you must acknowledge that you are unholy. You must acknowledge that you are ungodly altogether, at your best state, at your best condition. Vanity, vanity, that word vanity means unprofitable. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to intercede for you. He's willing to take up your cause for the holy righteous God of heaven and earth. For it is written, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Sin is the transgression of God's holy law. We're told that by the deeds of the law, by the keeping of the commandments, shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Consider Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We just read about the prophet Samuel in the context of Acts chapter 3. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, and as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. It's written in the book of Samuel that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is the sin of idolatry. Do you esteem your own opinions, and your own philosophies, and your own way to be greater than or even equal to the mind and the way of God Almighty? For there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If that describes you esteeming your own opinions and your own philosophies to be equal to or greater than the mind and the ways of God, you are guilty of idolatry, what the Bible condemns as the sin of idolatry. Idolatry. Revelation 21:8 declares, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The sorcerers, those who are into witchcraft, the occult, those who are into the drug trade, such as, for just a couple examples, the marijuana, the cocaine. If you find yourself in such a state that even as you're hearing these words, there's a tugging at your heart. That tugging is none other than what Jesus Christ spoke of as the drawing of God the Father. When Jesus said in St. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And he said later on there in St. John 6, and again I say unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father which is in heaven. You feel that tugging at your heart. It's that drawing of God the Father speaking through his words, through your own conscience convicting you. The Word of God talks about the law of God written in the heart of man, their thoughts, all the while accusing or else excusing them. It is written in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul said, for the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. You must esteem yourself to be carnal. Carnal. That word carnal means that you're not spiritual. You're not driven. You're not motivated by the things of God. Sold under sin, a slave to the author of sin, who is none other than the devil himself. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Romans 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defy defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any of the thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, teaching from the Holy Scriptures, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, the gospel, the good news, how that Christ, as God manifest in the flesh, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We're told in the book of Galatians, for I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Do you realize, sinner, that if you can be reconciled to God by your own deeds, then Jesus Christ died in vain, but rest assured, as surely as Jesus died, he did not die in vain, and you could not in any way, shape, or form be justified by the works of the law, for we're told in Romans chapter 3, for where is boasting then? Meaning before God, where is boasting then? And it's excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. It's because you cannot be justified, because you cannot stand before God just as if you've never sinned, through the keeping of the commandments, through being good. For there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none good but one, that is God. You must submit to and acknowledge the very righteousness of the lawgiver himself, and you need to have that righteousness through faith in the very work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and giving himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. All includes you. Believest thou this? For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only one that can stand and plead your cause before a holy, righteous God. We're told in Psalm 7 that God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. You need Christ Jesus to plead your cause before an angry God, that that angry God might all the more show himself merciful, even as God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. God would have you to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Believest thou this? For it is written, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Next to Jesus Christ, no matter how righteous, no matter how good any sinner may esteem him or herself, next to Jesus Christ, one is always the chiefest of sinners. You need to put yourself up next to Christ Jesus, sinner, and you'll be found more than a sinner. You'll be found the chief of sinners. It is written, 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, written under inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means God breathed. So writing under the very words breathed by God himself, the Apostle Paul wrote, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Are you troubled, sinner? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And you who are troubled, rest with us. So you're troubled. Rest with us. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the gospel, the news. For God so loved the world. God so loved you, believest thou this, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He shall be punished, okay? Again, if you are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, good news. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. If you believe not, it is written, you shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power, and he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day, it is written. So, it is written, speaking of those who believe on Jesus Christ, the life everlasting, believe on, put their, it means to put your complete trust, put your complete faith in him. God commands repentance toward God through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Repentance toward God. Godly sorrow that worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Acknowledge the fact that you have transgressed the very law of your Creator, inscribed on your very heart and your very being. It's called your conscience. And show yourself sorry before God and be sorry for your sin. The psalmist wrote, for I will declare mine iniquity. For I will be sorry for my sin. I will declare mine iniquity. And be sorry for how you as a transgressor have offended God in transgressing, breaking his law, and acknowledge that your sin was placed upon his son, and be willing to turn from your wicked ways as one who desires to go and sin no more, even as you put your faith in the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. For it is written, speaking of Jesus Christ, and who? Jesus Christ. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. For it is the blood. God said in Leviticus 17, 11, it is the blood that maketh an atonement, a payment for the soul. Because the cost, the wages of your sin is death. It's appointed unto men, it's appointed unto you, once to die. But after this is the judgment. So Jesus Christ had to die in your place. If you were to escape the wages of your sin, which is death, he had to pay the wage. He had to pay the price for you. To pay the price for you, he did. And he rose from the dead the third day. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Galatians chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh, your flesh is that sinful part of you that you inherited from Adam as a result of the fall. We're told, for as in Adam all die. Adam, in Hebrew, Adam, means man. Adam is the Hebrew word for man. So in Adam, in man himself, you, a man, a woman, died. And if you be, now the works of the flesh, again, your sinful nature that you inherited from Adam, now the works of the flesh are manifest, revealed, which are these: adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus declared, ye have heard that was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Pornography. Adultery. Sleeping with one who is not your spouse or is the spouse of another. Adultery. Fornication. That would include sodomy, homosexuality, sex outside of wedlock, out of marriage. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Thou shalt not kill, the Word of God declares. Thou shalt not kill. Hatred, variance. Variance. That spirit that always seeks to be at odds with not just your Creator, but your neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Emulations. These are works of the flesh. These are works that proceed from your sinful nature that you inherited from Adam. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Heresies are false teachings that proceed from the Word of God, men twisting the Word of God, men who take the Word of God out of context, and envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said, more will not, but I said unto thee, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Just like you did no good thing and could do no good thing to get born into your physical family, get born the first time. So there's nothing good that you can do to get born spiritually, born again. Hence Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. It is written, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. By faith in Jesus Christ tonight, according to Galatians, you can become. You're drawn of God the Father. It's the Spirit convicts you of sin, because you believe not on Jesus Christ, of judgment, and of righteousness. By faith in Jesus Christ tonight, you can become a child of Abraham himself, even as you become a child of God. You can become a child of Abraham, the very friend of God, according to the Word of God. But you must, like Abraham, believe God. And to believe God is to believe on the God of Abraham, who is manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, who said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Yet Jesus was the very God of gods, manifest in the flesh, Jehovah God himself, come down to reveal to sinners the way to the Father. And we preach and we proclaim, we beseech you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, and hope of eternal life, Titus says, which God hath promised before the world began. And he cannot lie. And hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Let God be true and every man a liar. The God of the Bible, he is the God of heaven and earth, and he cannot lie. So why will you not believe? Why will you not come unto Jesus? Jesus said, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. Are you going to be like those stiff-necked Jews of his day, to whom he said, you will not come unto me that you might have life? It's written, as the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you repent before God of your sins, as one who desires to go and sin no more, and you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, you will not be ashamed. You're never going to look back and wish you had done otherwise. No. But to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, and the Spirit and the Bride say come. It's written in Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the Bride say come. And let him that is athirst come. Let him that heareth say come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus Christ is the water of life. May you not be ignorant of God's righteousness, trying to establish your own righteousness as so many religious sinners are seeking to do in this world today that we live in. Oh, no, do not be ignorant of God's righteousness. For it is written, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Our heart's desire and our prayer to God for you, sinner, that you might be saved. Verse 2 of Romans 10, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3, for they be ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. You cannot live by them, sinner. That's why you're a sinner. It's all the more manifested. That's all the more revealed by the fact that you are a sinner. You'll be shaped in iniquity. You were conceived in sin. And because you could not live in those commands, because you could not live in the righteousness of God described by Moses, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to you who believe. But you must believe on the Son, Jesus Christ. You must believe in the lawgiver himself, who came down and as the just one was lifted up so that you, the unjust, might be saved through him. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. St. John 1:12-13 declares, but to as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So as surely as you tonight, by God's grace, as you're drawn to the Father, as surely as you are willing, even as the Father is willing, call upon Jesus Christ, acknowledge your need for the atonement, the payment was provided through his shed blood. You as a transgressor of God's law, needed that atonement, willing to turn from your sin as one wanting to go and sin no more, cry out to him. And God himself will come down, he will manifest himself in the person of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Your body will become the very temple of living God, God dwelling in you. And life more abundantly will have just begun. And you will find yourself reconciled, having a relationship restored to your Creator in heaven that was lost in that place called Eden. No longer to live as a child of the devil, but a child of God, whom the wicked one can no longer touch, sin no longer having dominion over you, alive unto God, alive unto righteousness, to serve and to worship your Creator in spirit and truth. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So, choose you this day. The blessing is set before you, and there is the curse, eternal. The second death for those who will not receive the blessing, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Choose you this day. It's not a matter of choosing God or the devil, because you already belong to the devil. But there is a choice to receive the one true God through faith in Jesus Christ as he has been presented to you this evening. Our prayer is that you choose life.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. But cursed be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We're told in the book of Galatians. All but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, menial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone, for by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber. Till next time, God bless you and yours.